Hello.
Dear brothers and sisters, I'm very happy to be here with you, although quite hot. This is because I always believe we all human beings, we are same mentally, emotionally, I think basically and physically also it's the same. Of course, there are, I think, in minor, there are some differences, shape, color, but basically we all have, you see, two eyes, one nose, two ears, everyone is the same, isn't it? So I always, you see, I say happy, interact, talk with other fellow human brothers, sisters. Through that way, I also learn some new things. Mainly, you see, when I receive some questions, which something entirely new, actually, you see, did not expect it. Then you see, through such way, that gives me opportunity to think, to analyze. So very useful. And then perhaps to the audience also, you see, may have some sort of new concepts or new points. And this possibility is it to get some sort of some benefit. But at the same time, I want to make clear, or in fact I want to warn to you, should not feel much expectation. There is no sort of kind of miracles. In fact, I myself very, very skeptical about these things such as miracles. But then sometimes I, you see, jokingly, you see, telling people, if you see someone who come to my talk where with the belief that Dalai Lama is something like healer, Dalai Lama have some kind of healing power, so with that expectation, you see, came to see me, then that is very, very dangerous. Firstly, you see, I myself, you see, very, very skeptical, very doubtful to those people who claim healing power. So, in fact, I think some time ago in England, one big gathering, public talk, I expressed, you see, in a similar way. Then I told to the audience, if there is real sort of, let's say, healer, then firstly, I want to show my skin problems to that healer. Because, you see, this itching, or sometimes quite pleasant, though like that. But basically, as Nagarjuna say, without itching, it's even much better. So therefore, if there is someone who really, you see, can cure, you see, this, then I would like to see them. But so far, I never met such person. So, then, Then those people who just simply come with curiosity, then that's perfectly no problem. Very good. So in any way, I'm very, very happy, you see, having this opportunity. So I would like to express my deep appreciation to those because of the concerned people who organized this opportunity. Then, I think the fundamental thing is we everyone want happy life or successful life. And this, I think, some kind of, I think, legitimate right to have happy life, successful life, and that is also our goal. But then the question is, how to achieve, you see, that happy life? It seems, you see, in modern time, where the technology and some material facilities now much developed, much available, and under such circumstances, sometimes I think we people get some kind of belief or attitude the material facility is the final factor which satisfy our desire and fulfill our goal. I think too much expectation, too much sort of trust on the matter. And also I think on that way, sometimes it seems develop some kind of kasota chi rawa shizatabu mebichikana rawa chedeba.
So our belief in materialism is so strong that we place false hopes on what really lacks any firm basis.
Because of that kind of, false hope. False hope, we often neglect about our inner value and also inner strength. Too much reliant on external things. Which expectation, that can fulfill our meaningful life. So in a way, because of that kind of attitude, you see, we a little bit, I think, neglect or tarirushima.
We move further away
from basic human values. So, of course, the material development, material facility, very, very essential, very useful. But still, it is wrong to expect all our problems can solve through material means or external means. So, therefore, there is no point to neglect about our inner values. So the combination, material development and spiritual development is together, combined. Then our goal, happy life, can achieve. So while we are taking care, every care about the material development, it is very essential we should pay more attention about our inner values. When I say, when I use the word spirituality, not necessarily with religious faith. It is quite obvious there should be two levels of spirituality. One spirituality is with religious faith, one spirituality without any religious faith. Obviously, the individual who can manage a meaningful life without religious faith, so obviously. But the another kind of spirituality, mainly basic human values. In that case, you can't be happy person without basic human values. So long we remain as a human being. You see, there's no way to neglect these basic human values. Then what is the basic human values? Firstly, I think there also can be two levels. One level is the sense of caring one another. It's a sense of sharing one another. A sense of, oneness, all humanity, as a brother, sisters, as a member of human family. And respect other. These are, of course, then is a tolerance, and also self-discipline. These, one level of human values. Another level. Now this level, first level, the sense of caring one another, there's a sense of sharing. This, even with animal, right? Even animal kingdom, animal world, they also have these sort of senses, right? Sense of caring one another, these qualities, sense of caring one another, this is sense of sharing one another. But then, on the human level, another level, that is the, because of human sort of intelligence, knowing far-reaching consequences. So on that level, you deliberately increase sort of certain qualities, and deliberately try to restrain some of our desire or some of our action. In that case, I think we human being is much more sophisticated than animals. So now on that level, human beings and other animals all have, same desire for happiness or satisfaction. This is common with everybody, and also the other sentient beings also have the same. Then the unique thing about the human being is the intelligence. So if we just concentrate on happiness or pleasure mainly through senses. Yeah. That's not a unique human sort of human thing. That also is common with animals. So, wombo konge wombo ngala, tene chik chasi ki tsimbo yonya di, tundule chik bure dwa.
So far as the quest to try to derive a sense of satisfaction mainly through the five senses, So far as that quest is concerned, there is not much to distinguish between human beings and animals.
So, the I want to express in my own sort of Kasura language. Mi namju gu ta ne, ini pujang ringgu dunge saya da, pujang ringgu diji saya di, ta mi cheju saya di.
So what distinguishes us human beings from our fellow animals is our ability to use the faculty of intelligence in our quest to fulfill this natural desire to be happy and overcome suffering.
So today we understand that Maranzu Milia cash jigye debadi tokju shene shimju chya di imbare shimju chya ge lamla tene ene pujan rengu digi chya ji chong yin na ene mi tseni sang ji mi cash di ene kasore yang ta bo jia chue so chong.
So it is this ability to judge between long-term and short-term consequences of our behavior and action that really separates us from the human, from the animals. And this is the unique quality of the human beings. So if we are able to utilize this unique human quality and utilize it in the right way, then that would show that we have proven to be a real human beings.
And then another, I think, the important factor, which I think important to know, that is the pleasure or pain, mainly in a physical level or sensory level, then the pleasure and the pains on mainly in mental level. There are two kinds. According to our daily basis, if we examine, then it becomes very clear the sensorial sort of pains can subdue by sort of mental forces. Physical pains, some uncomfortable place, some kind of unpleasant feeling, mainly in the physical level, that can easily ignore if your mental state is calm, happy. The opposite, if mentally unhappy, much disturbed, then all the best facilities about physical comfort there, including good companions and money, fame, everything there, but that person, if mentally much disturbed, then that person cannot be a happy person. So the Tinza Gong Sheva La Tene Chunye Kasolo Swa Dewa Di Sim Tu Deva Di Pasidunan Tukumidwa.
So this experience suggests that no matter how powerful our sensory experience is, that it cannot overwhelm the state of mind.
So this shows the mental level experience is superior. So human intelligence now really sort of kasoda that re min namju gi ta zo yilu le ten de be didu thali ya min namju ta shiwji dai de
sha. So it is at this mental realm of happiness and suffering or pain and pleasure where the application of the human faculty of intelligence plays a tremendous role in determining and influencing it.
Then if we look human intelligence itself, the intelligence itself something like neutral, something like just instrument. That instrument can utilize destructive way or constructive way. Similarly, human intelligence, you see, can be either. So, now, for example, I think many are sort of problems or sufferings, mainly because of our ability, you see, to think long future, and we have the sort of ability of imagination. You see, because of that, a lot of doubt, a lot of expectation, a lot of disappointment, a lot of sort of fear. This, I think, in the human level, I mean, animal level, I think less. You see, if animal, obviously, you see, feed well and shelter good, then no immediate disturbance there, or they remain very peacefully. We human beings, even these sort of well fed, and surrounding is a good companion, and a lot of music, a lot of sort of many things. Still, if mentally, some kind of too much expectation, too much sort of kasoda, too much sophistication in mental level. That person, you see, cannot be a relaxed way. So therefore, human intelligence, in a way, the source of trouble, source of problem, source of sort of, I think, the worry, very clear. So therefore, those worry or problem or unhappy things mainly come from human intelligence. They cannot solve by physical
facilities or conditions.
So
much of the problems really are created into some degree by the overactive imagination and the thought processes we have. And these category of problems cannot be resolved by relying on external physical or material conditions.
So therefore, the human intelligence itself, you see, have, I think, great important role in both field, negative field as well as positive side, positive field. So therefore, it becomes quite clear, the right kind of mental attitude is the key factor. With right kind of mental attitude, then human intelligence can
direct it
towards more positive way. If we analyze, you see, these situations, then it become quite clear the basic human values combined with human intelligence, then these really become important in order to have happy life, happy day, even happy night. You see, daytime, your mental level, peace, calm, open, as a reflection of the daytime's experience. In dream time also, happy. Otherwise, in daytime, too much fear, too much agitation and doubt. In dream time also, still more troubles. So therefore, in order to have the happy 24 hours, our mental attitude have very, very important role. So while we engage, I think every minute about money, about something external things, we should at least I think sometime in sort of sometimes is the at least is a few moments we should pay more attention about our inner world, inner values. So here you see sometimes quite interesting, you see, to look inward, who am I, right? And where is I? Usually, you see, we almost, I think, take for granted I is there as something solid, something independent, as the owner of our body, our mind, and our possessions. Try to find out where is that kasada wanchambo sachambe ngadkhwado.
So if we were to be a bit more reflective and start to examine and inquire, where is that this so-called powerful and precious self, where is that self?
Then with that also, you see, quite interesting, useful, you see, to find out what is mind, where is mind. That also useful, because the most disturbed forces in mentally is those negative emotions. So when you see the emotion, mainly, you see, the destructive emotions fully, you see, develop, then we become slave of that emotion. So then the person become like mad person. So it is useful as when some kind of emotions is develop, and look, where is that? So now, in order to develop or increase basic human values, is a sense of caring, sense of sharing one another, the key thing is human affection. There's some kind of closeness feeling one another. I think this
from conception.
That, I think, the quality already there. Especially, according to some medical scientists, an unborn child still in the mother's womb, you see, can recognize the mother's voice. This, you see, indicates the even then, you see, there's some kind of the closeness feeling towards that person, and some kind of very dear feeling. Then after birth, the child's sight, without sort of logic or without any effort, but just spontaneous sort of response, the sucking mother's milk. Then mother's sight also, the very close feeling, because of that feeling, the milk comes smoothly.
Right.
If other side, some kind of the lacking that human intimacy, closeness feeling, then the child won't survive. So our life started like that way. Without human affection, we can't survive. Then again, according to the medical science, the emotions have very, very important role for health. Some emotions, such as fear and hatred, these are very bad for health. And also, I think the function of intelligence, there are also some of the negative emotion are very bad for that, because you see, when negative emotions, you see, become very active, then certain portion of our brain, they function block. So human intelligence, you see, cannot function properly. So according to the medical science, and even our daily sort of experiences, sometimes the negative emotion become very strong, then you can feel some kind of uncomfortable. Kasa?
Tension.
Oh. You get tensions
and so on. No.
And then you can, I mean, you will lose, as it did, digestion. And sleep, and you need tranquilizers, and sleeping pills, and alcohol, then worse, I think, drugs. So like that. When you see some emotions fully develop, then nature sort of, I don't know, body's elements, nature balance, now then is disturbed. So result, blood pressure and all different kinds of disease also, you see, happen. According to some medical scientist, one occasion, you see, at one conference, there's one medical scientist, you see, show his data, right?
Data.
Then you see those persons who often use those words like mine, me, I, that these persons have greater risk for heart attack. So it seems if we want heart attack, then use these words like mantra. I like that. So is this, I mean, they clearly, I see, it shows when we think about oneself, something most precious, something like absolute something, then our whole mental function, mental focus, become very, very narrow. Just self. So within that very limited area, even small problems then appears something very big and unbearable. On the other hand, think more holistically. Even one problems, you see, look from wider angle, and that problem become insignificant. So similarly, you see, when our mental attitude, like, you see, the concern about others' welfare, our mind automatically widened. So result, our own problem then appears insignificant.
Less
significant. So more easier to face it. I think that makes differences. So therefore, I believe, I often is telling people, the practice of sense of caring of other, or is the practice of compassion, actually,
So I often tell people that the practice of compassion and the practice of sense of caring for one another, the real benefit actually is enjoyed by yourself.
But sometimes, you know, we get the impression the benefit from the practice of compassion, usually, see, we get the feeling or something others. I mean, you see, if you practice compassion, the benefit mainly to other. So if you see someone who really is concerned about other, then it is relevant practice of compassion. But if you see someone who who do not much concern about others, then no relevant practice of compassion. I think that's a mistake. As a result of practice of compassion, I think the benefit, firstly, immediately go to the practitioner. Look, when you see, think about the other's welfare, think about humanity, as I mentioned earlier, our mind widened. So result, you feel much, much comfortable with that kind of mental attitude. Whenever you met someone, yes, you feel another just human brothers, sisters. Immediately, you see, you can communicate easily. On the other hand, if you think just oneself and don't bother about lacking about the human sort of affections to other, then our inner door is closed. Result, we find very difficult to communicate with other fellow human beings. So therefore, practice of compassion immediately bring some kind of inner strength, so inner peace, immediately to oneself. So I think good result out of practice of compassion, no doubt, because socially a pain at the Namsanya, you say, Mill pain at the Kalekale, Tishin Pan, which is my Tishin Pan, my Kazore, you're in heaven.
So, one thing that is certain is that when you cultivate these sentiments and practice compassion, the immediate benefit is really enjoyed by yourself, because there is this immediate internal change within your thought. And then maybe indirectly it will be of benefit to other beings. Sometimes it may not be beneficial to others, but what is certain is that the benefit you yourself will experience.
So, judging these sort of reality, then it becomes quite clear. If we really concerned about one's own future, one's own happy life, you should develop certain kind of mental attitude. So here, practice of compassion is very, very important role. Therefore, sometimes I jokingly telling people, if we truly be a selfish, then should be wise selfish rather than foolish selfish. So, these are, I think reality. Each of you is just to think about these points, then carry some kind of experiment. Then eventually, you will get better awareness. My own case, of course, I am Buddhist monk. Now, 65 years old. 65 years old. About a few months ago, when I was in Europe, I just thought 66 years old. So a few occasions I mentioned I'm 66 years old. Then later, I met one my friend. Then I just casually mentioned 66 year old person. Then he refused that. And then we, because jointly, because count. Oh, I born 6th July. 35, and then 45, no, 55, 65. Then I realized 65. So 1 year reduced. So anyway, now you see the, now a person, now, I think just within a few days, completely now 65 years old, most of the Khasa, my life, right, lifetime, not happy one. Of course, you see, everybody knows. You see, difficult sort of experiences. My age, I think, 15 or 16, around 15, I lost freedom. Then age 24, lost my own country. Now 41 years passed since become refugee. And news from our own homeland, always very saddening sort of news. But in spite of that, I feel my mental state seems, I think, quite peaceful. I think. I hope so, at least. Yeah. So you see some sort of one tragic sort of news, you see, happen, comes. Enter from this year and go from this year. Not much remain here. So result, my peace of mind, less disturbed. Right. So this not happened because it's just I'm something special person. Certainly not. I jokingly used to telling my Chinese friend, the Chinese word Hofu, living Buddha, that means living Buddha. You see, that I think very term is, I think, dangerous. This is very wrong, what is the term? The, in Tibetan word, Lama, in Sanskrit, Guru. In these words, there's no meaning of living Buddha. But I don't know how to develop in Chinese language, Hofu, the living Buddha. How to develop, I don't know. So in any way, you see, the whether people call me as a living Buddha or God King or some cases devil, counter-revolutionary. But doesn't matter. The reality, I'm just a human being. Just simple Buddhist monk. No differences. So we are same. Therefore, you see, I'm telling you, you see, according to my own experience, if we take care or take, I mean, pay more attention about inner world, life can be a more happy one. Therefore, those American friends who are in the materialistic society, yes, you already achieve a lot of things, but on that, now, as addition, think more inner world. Then your life becoming more fuller, right? More complete. And then also, I think it's obviously, if we look, those area, still whole community fighting for, I mean, struggle for living standard, for material. For material sort of development, they are facing the problem mainly related with the physical, the sensorial level. Then those society or community already achieved the material high standard. Now you already achieved with other people still fighting or still struggle to achieve that, but you already achieved. Now then obviously the soya kange ye debe nigub di ring la soya kange di sada ji tong deba ma do sem ji kange di anda shang ma se me debe so shi ta chiran zo soya kange di di ngobu ya ge la tene ji So, Lula Tembe, Gogodi, Chazan, Sang Yuzane, Tashine, Sem kange di ngose tu drodik duwa.
One thing that seems to be obvious is that if you look at societies and cultures and countries where the primary effort really is directed towards simple material survival, where people are struggling for their daily survival and sustenance, then so almost all their energy and concentration needs to be directed to that mere survival, that in a sense it does not allow the opportunity for the lot of mental anxieties and problems related to mental experiences to come into surface. In comparison to that, in northern countries, particularly in more affluent societies, society as a whole, since you have already reached a high standard of material development, so it seems that there is less struggle for daily survival or sustenance. So this allows opportunity for you to then pay attention to problems which are more emotional and mental in nature.
So through these sort of, I think the training or analytical meditation, suddenly we can be a more peaceful person. Then through that way there is a greater chance to create peaceful family, peaceful human community. These are the, I think, foundation of world peace, peaceful community. And with this inner quality, inner strength, we can face problems. Problem in the social level, problem in the family level, or global level. I think can face more, realistic way. Through that way, you see, we can solve this problem through dialogue, in the spirit of reconciliation. That's the real, I think, the real meaning of non-violence. Non-violence does not mean we just remain
passive.
And then through that way, we can achieve genuine world peace. And also with these through inner quality, more holistic approach, it also can be very, very useful for ecology. So therefore, the first, when we talk, I mean, we everywhere, you see, we can hear ecology, world peace, non-violence, all these, you see, we often, you see, but then the real preparation for these things, not through regulations, not through some kind of United Nations sort of resolution, but by individual transformation. And then through that way, once we really, develop some kind of, peaceful society, and every problem, solution, every problem through dialogue, through non-violent way, then we really seriously can think about demilitarization. First, national level, or regions level, then global level. So the bigger sort of issues, the issue really related with the humanity, entire humanity, then I think can be possible to achieve. Otherwise, to say, unless some change within individual, very difficult to achieve these things. So that's about my talk. Thank you very much. Now some questions and answer.
Ha, 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 ha.